God, give us wisdom in all our relationships that we may draw those we love towards you. Help us trust that you will care for them and bring them to a life of faith. L'chaim.
L'chaim.
You ever think, you know, the guy that's writing these prayers every day in, what's the name of the newspaper?
Somerset County, my hometown.
Right, and it's American, Daily American?
Right.
We haven't mentioned it in a while, that's what I say. So you ever think about, like, what's going on in his life based on the prayer? Like, mm-hmm. somebody in his family or some, like, his wife's friend is pissing him off, so it's like, help us get the wisdom in all our relationships, this motherfucking bitch, you know?
Yeah, I think he's trying to, I always thought this, I think he's trying to tell people stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like I can see your dad doing this from the way you describe him. Like, help all your sons, help all your kids. And it's like really his kids.
Dear Lord, let us remember the commandment, honor your father.
Right.
As we do our best every day to make his life easier. Amen. Hello, everybody. It's Suck a Dick Wednesday for our new listeners. We have a lot to get to, so I can't really get into it right now. But it's just suck dick. Just suck that. When in doubt, ladies, suck some dick. And then later when we have more time, we'll explain it to the new people.
Dear Keith, but for now, you guys can go to keithandthegirl.com/forums
correct.
And figure out everything.
We'll start with some relationship advice today, but of course we'll talk about yesterday's DVD screening. Dear Keith and the Girl, I am 15, a sophomore in high school, and I met a girl about a week ago, and we hit it off quite nicely. I met her through MySpace, even though she went to my school. We
were
cool.
Wow, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. Liked the same music, and I was thinking of asking her out this weekend. I just got to talking to her on IM yesterday, and she said that
Do you guys have each other's phone numbers mm-hmm. yet?
She said that she used to do some hard drugs. When she had some issues with her boyfriend and she was okay now. Oh, she did drugs when she had issues with her boyfriend. I was like, fine, cool. As long as you're fine now, I can deal with that. We all got problems. I'm right. 15. I've seen it all. Today, she got to talking about her ex-boyfriend because he just recently came out of the closet to her.
Oh, my God.
Fuck issues. She said she saw it coming. She said she could tell after they broke up that he was really feminine. Whatever, fine. You still seem cool now. Then she reveals,
oh my God,
how when they first had sex, she was late on her period and she thought she was pregnant. But 2 weeks later, she said she finally got her period and that it came so late because of nerves and the drugs. Fuck more issues. She said she's over it. Fine, whatever. I thought it was funny. By the way, this happened in late spring of last year. I said that was pretty sick, so I told her some sick stuff I did. Then I asked her some other sick stuff she did.
Wait, why is he leaving out his sick shit?
Right.
I want to hear about that too.
She then tells me how she not unknowingly took her best friend's virginity, but that she took his virginity without much care for him, and that she slept with him 3 times. But then came the icing on the fucking cake. She then proceeded to tell me that after sleeping with her best friend 3 times, she slept with his father.
Oh my God.
When she knew that this guy's father knew that she was doing it with his son. He wasn't married, just to let you know. What the fuck? The girl then told me that she wasn't a slut. She was just attracted to the guy's father. I just wanted to scream, what the fuck are you talking about, you dirty slut? But I didn't. I have burned bridges in the past, and it just doesn't work. You're 15. So I was wondering, how do I get out of this situation? She told me something sick. I tried to act cool about it. I have many options right now. I didn't want to ignore her.
Look at you.
Right. And I don't want to go out with her. Plus, this story was pretty priceless to tell. I really do find it funny, and even though I might sound like a complete dick, I really don't want to go out with this girl, and it's stupid high school crap, but this is completely fucked up, and I am in a situation where I will have to talk to her, because we will have to be friends now. Why?
Why do we have to be friends? You know what's really cool about it is he said that he met her through MySpace, even though she goes to his school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wonder how big his school is, you know?
Right.
And now that he knows her through MySpace, is he seeing her in the hallways and stuff? And so maybe that's weird. He has like 2.5 more years of high school, so that can get weird.
This is a Razorback from the forum. Sincerely, Austin from Austin. So here's how you take care of the problem.
Oh, this is somebody from the forums responding to him?
No. This is him. His name's Austin.
Okay.
If you know a guy named Austin, and you're in the town of Austin, and you just, you know, MySpaced him and IM'd him, and you happen to sleep with a dude's father, stop talking to Austin. Austin's asking, you know, how do I befriend, you know, and still not talk to her? You don't. It's one or the other. You know, you're going to time to break some hearts, Austin. Now, of course, you can't. You can't still be friends, and it's going to be normal. That's it. You can't see it again. That's it.
You have the guy's point of view, like you know how to cut things off or whatever. I would not know how to do this. You know, I would think like this person's going to kill herself because she just needs one more thing to throw her off the edge.
Oh, she's going to go back on drugs, Austin.
Yeah, because of you.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like she just has issues. There's probably like a lot of family stuff in there. It'll make for good sex, mm-hmm. Mr. Austin. Apparently, she only sleeps with people 3 times. So become her best friend. She only sleeps with you 3 times. And then, you know, warn your dad. And if your dad's single, hey. Hell, thank you.
P.S. What the fuck is it with teenage girls and fantasies, or realities in this case, with older men? Because they have real drug stories, too. She's she's not into you because, what were your 6 stories, you know?
Because you know why?
I did drugs, so I shared my 6 stories. I caught a mouse once and tortured it. Oh, I slept with this dude's father and do heroin. Oh, okay, touche.
No, because when you're 15, you don't understand that it's weird to sleep with somebody that old. When I was 14, I had a crush on, and I'm only bringing this up because of what happened last night. I had a crush on that bagel store guy who was 21, who turns out he's brother love. So, and I thought like, hey, I can get this guy's attention and we can date. He's 21 and I'm 14. As a 14-year-old, you think everybody's okay with your age.
Right.
Nobody is, though. That old guy, he's a bastard. And you know when that girl will realize that he's a bastard? When she gets to be his age. Like when I was 16, I fooled around with a 26-year-old thinking that it's completely normal. When I turned 26, I was like, ew.
Right.
I looked back, I'm like, imagine me fooling around with a 16-year-old. That's a little creepy.
Right. And we'll get to the brother love thing. A lot of shit last night. Do you have that Dane Cook article?
Yeah, somebody MySpaced us something about Dane Cook. The subject is a deprogrammed Dane Cook fan.
Oh.
I fell for the Dane Cook press machine. I really thought he was the man of the people. He emailed me a couple times back in instant messages. I even scanned some articles for him. Just recently, I emailed him about this picture of him from like 5 years back, and it was bad, and I goofed on him about it, but meaning you came a long ways from that to Mr. Hollywood. Oh, he got so pissed, he basically banned me from writing him.
You don't make fun of Dane Cook's looks. I really think that bothers him. I'm not joking.
I guess so, because that's what he got mad at when what we said.
Right.
Like, we said so much shit, and the skin thing ripped him apart. Anyway, he banned me from writing him. He wrote it in such a prissy manner, and would have had respect him more if he just wrote "fuck off." That's very nice of you. I felt since he was a comedian, he would have gotten the roasting, but I was way wrong. I was looking shit up about him and found the links to your Fuck Dane Cook and your follow-up podcasts about that.
I want to know how she found that. Is she Googling Fuck Dane Cook?
Or is she
our show comes on, Fuck Dane Cook.
Or is she just Googling, it's a word now. Is she just Googling Dane Cook and our Fuck Dane Cook comes up, which is like, I think, even better. Mm. When Keith started to read the email from him, I almost died laughing. The style he wrote it was just like mine. So I came to my senses and took his CDs and sold back for credit to Sam Goody.
Oh.
For both of his CDs, I got $5.32.
Wow.
That's so weird. What? That's how much it's worth now? I guess, it's like the gap when you buy it in full price, but two weeks later, if you don't have the receipt, the price goes down, and so you get it sold back for how much it is now. So are Dane Cook CDs at $5.32 now? I asked the girl, does that mean a lot of people are bringing them back? She said, yes, !!
Wow, maybe it goes by how much they're wanted?
How much do you get them back for?
I think
it's the price of it now, and it makes me want to go to Sam Goody and see how much, you know, Dane
I really
Cook
doubt. I
yeah,
really
$5.32.
Right.
I mean, I think the cheapest CDs go for is $10, and that's
right.
really
He's still
cheap.
Doing okay, so
right,
I don't think
right.
his albums are $5.
Right. I don't know. It also depends where she is, but I don't think so.
Right.
Anyway, I love the Doug Stanhope interview. He's a very cool dude. I emailed him once, and his reply was very sincere. That gets me, like, it. She's basing how cool these people are by, like, how they're responding
right.
back to her.
Right.
And I don't...
I think it's fun.
It is, but at the same time, I'm like, wow, I hope I'm responding well to people because
right.
I guess, you know, that's how you're going to decide if you're going to listen to me or not. I cracked up when I received his comedy CD in the mail and his real home address on the returned hand.
Doug Stanhope's?
Doug Stanhope.
He doesn't care. That guy's nuts. He does not care. What are they going to do? Come to my house? Probably. Whatever.
Does he know about P.O. boxes?
Right.
I got to say, like, I love the P.O. box. It's actually not expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And And because our UPS guy really sucks here, mm-hmm. and you know what? I spoke to a friend of mine who lives in the neighborhood, and she said her UPS guy does a similar thing. She's not sure if it's UPS or FedEx because all these, you know, uniforms throw us off.
That doesn't leave a package and has attitude?
No. She said that he rings on her doorbell and just starts walking away.
Yeah, that's what ours does.
He does that, right?
Yeah. Because ours knocks. Ours knocks for like three knocks and just leaves.
And after the knocks, like no waiting to see if we come down.
And chances are, you know, most people aren't home from 9 to 5, but he leaves so fast that he doesn't want to have to deliver these things. It's like then you have to deliver tomorrow.
Right. But the thing is, she was dressed one time, like fully dressed, mm-hmm. because she was expecting somebody to come over. And then there was a ring, right? The doorbell rang, and she was right there like 3 seconds later.
Right.
He's already like down the block. And the UPS guy did that to us the other day. I answered the door right away, and he was so upset that I answered the door. He's like, oh, okay, I'll go to the truck and get the packages now. So he's going to want, he expected me not to be there. Right. In all fairness, I guess, loading and unloading when, you know, between 9 to 5, you're right, nobody's going to be there. But then he didn't even, like, bring the packages to me. He stayed at the bottom of our stairs and just kind of threw them so that I can pick them up.
Step.
Yeah, so I can pick it up and bring it into the house. That's nice. And chivalry, ladies, mm-hmm. is dead.
Right.
So, it's so horrendous. I want to I don't know whether to tip him or just punch him in the face. Because I figure you throw him a 20.
You throw him the 20. Yeah. And he, you know, does he wait for you now? Does he hand you the packages?
Right.
Is he willing to leave packages that, you know.
Right, for a fucking 20, which I'm so willing to do, except that's not the way it works in my world. You don't shit on me, and then I go, here's a 20, sir, please don't shit on me anymore.
Well, you know, there's people that in restaurants sometimes will tip you right away.
Right.
To make sure that you do get the good
service. I feel
like
that's different because you didn't give them the finger, then they gave you a 20 to not give them the finger.
That is correct.
You know?
That is correct.
That's the difference there. And by the way, that works because people have tipped me before I started a job. And no matter what it is, I feel so obligated to do the right thing. And I'm like, God damn it. And then I feel like an asshole. Like this person just bought me for $10 or $20 and I feel like a jerk because they already paid me on top of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it works. It works. The guilt sets in as soon as you put the money in your hand. Anyway, I still can't believe Dan Cook let some nobody chick from Las Vegas get to him, the guy who jokes about punching women in the taint and calling them twats, which is a good point.
Mm-hmm. It's a great point.
Yeah. Keep up with a good word. Angie from Vegas. Thank you, Angie. I apologize that when I first read this MySpace email, that the whole time I thought you were a dude. I just expect everyone to be male that contacts us. And everyone's thinking, but MySpace has a picture. She did not have a picture up. She had
So it's her fault.
Well, I don't want it to be like, wow, she must really look like a dude.
Well, thank you, Angie. And I mean that. Thank you.
Sincerely, thanks.
You're a loyal listener. And I appreciate your story.
And thank you, Dan Cook, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he brought her to us. That's irony.
Right. And take that money and add a little more, and you could buy my DVD.
I can't believe you even said that. Let's start talking about last night.
All right. So yesterday's the DVD screening. And
Keith's new DVD is out. It's called Children's Party Songs. A lot of it is based on the clown parties that he's done. It's very, very funny. It's got some extras on it. You know, we also did a special Keith and the Girl show to put on his extras on DVD. And there's something different on the CD as well. So.
When did we get there? Like 6:30, between 6:30 and 7?
Right.
And we told people 7. And then the flyer that went around said the screening started at 8.
By the way, I checked my email from the guy that hosts the place that I've been corresponding with. He did say 7. He told us 7.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay. So, but we get there, like 6:37. The place is already packed, and the fans of the show and people that were into my stand-up are swinging from chandeliers, are jumping from table to table like monkeys. They're brumsking, they're moondogging. I don't even know where to look. People are crazy. The waitress goes, can I get you something to drink? And I'm like, yeah, thanks, I'll take a. And then she slaps me in the face and goes, seagull! I didn't even know chicks could seagull you.
Well, I've had a couple of those.
No, there were a couple people when we first went in, but it took no time for that place to fill up, yeah. to overly fill up, is so awesome. Everybody that came out, but
it's really exciting. We didn't expect it to pack that much.
Right. And they haven't seen so many people in that screening room. We had to move all the tables, get more tables, get more chairs.
Right.
It was a nice amount of people.
Thanks everyone for coming out.
Yeah. So I start doing, before the thing actually starts.
The DVD.
I go on, you know, the little stage, and I think I'm going to thank people for what they did and, you know, make a little joke or two, and then, you know, we'll start the thing. How do you think my speeches went?
What he was supposed to do, we brought, you know, the DVDs, we brought the CDs, we brought a little bit of merchandise, and we set right. up a little table, and Mona and Patrice were going to be like a little storefront owners.
Right. And I was up all night the night before, you know, printing these CDs, you know.
Yeah. I woke up early to get the inserts for them. Like, we right. really, we made an effort to get them over there so that people who come, you know, they don't have to pay the delivery fee, you know, and we don't have to freaking deliver it to them, whatever.
Right.
So Keith goes out. I said, you know, just tell everybody that the store is open, whatever. Keith practically mumbles everything. He's like, and you know, we have you know, extras on the DVD, and so you can buy them right over to my left. And thanks, everybody.
I thought I got all the information out.
You know what you did say nice and loud? Your fucked up jokes to everyone. Like, when you first started, you were like, all right, everybody shut up, blah, blah, blah. That was okay. As soon as Keith has to start talking about himself, he starts mumbling, like not regular mumbling. I'm sure that you can hear him. You can hear every word. I'm like, you said everything that you were supposed to, but nobody knew that you can buy the DVD.
Nobody knew you can buy the DVD. In fact, and then, you know, after the DVD, I go back up, you know, thank you, blah, blah, blah. I say something else. And I think I'm saying that, you know, the CD has a thing as an extra thing. The DVD has a Keith and the Girl show. You know, a lot of those people were into the show, you know, this audio show. That the making of the cool menu is also, you know, a bonus feature. Nobody knew any of that. And then they're talking, they're like, they see on the DVD, they're like, oh, extras. Are there extras? What? I didn't say there are extras. I said there were extras. And then, you know, we
go. Because like three people right. figured out that they can buy the DVD right. and they did.
And we'll get to it. Like they figured it out. And then, you know, later at another place that we'll get to. But anyway, people are like, so when's the DVD available? It was available 4 hours ago. Nobody knew I was selling shit.
And I bummed him out so much because I was like, that was your thank you and to Matt? That was your thank you to everybody? And like, I thought he would make a bit. Matt really, really put it together.
Correct.
And you've definitely said it on the show. But you got up there and you're like, and here's the people who helped out. Victor Varnado, thank you very much. Ray Downs came up with the idea. And Matt wouldn't have been without you, blah, blah, blah. And he hands everybody everything. And it's such a whirlwind. And people talk about this when you do your comedy. You step over your own jokes
right.
because you're just continuing to talk. You don't wait for laughter. You don't wait right. for reaction. Because I say because it's modesty, you know,
right.
it's like, okay, nobody wants to hear me and I don't have to pause for jokes. You don't have to laugh every minute. It's like in your head, it's like adding a soundtrack. Right.
Right.
So I bummed you out. I'm like, nice. Thank yous. And so just to make sure it is available, keithandthegirl.com/store. And not only are the CDs, the new CDs and DVDs available, there's a whole bunch of stuff available. And this month is Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Buy a Nigga T-shirt month. So anyone who's darker than you, you buy a T-shirt for this mm-hmm. month. So
helps race relations. I'm just an idiot. We come home and there are a nice amount of orders that people did buy through the store.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, people wanted to buy it. They had no idea. Very nice turnout. If you're there, you saw, you know, a lot of the characters that we talk about on the show. Ray was there. Ray with the girlfriend that dresses. She wasn't there.
No.
Unfortunately, that dresses his household neon.
Oh, you're saying unfortunately. I was like, thank God she wasn't there so we can point him out and
right.
talk about how this is the one whose mm-hmm. place looks like Hello Kitty threw up on it.
Spooky was there.
Matt was there. What's his face? Adam was there. Patrice, Mona.
You know who didn't make it?
I think I do.
My buddy Chris didn't make it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Deuce Deuce.
Deuce Deuce didn't make it. Who cares? But my buddy Chris, who, you know, couldn't come over to, didn't come over to help clean. And that's because, you know, he was the one friend that I was going to, you know, pay money to clean my house. And
he likes to smoke weed
right.
and clean. Well, so he might as well come over.
And because of that weed smoking, he remembers nothing. He deliberately took off work to come to the screening. And, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal at all, but I think it's funny that he really wants to support me, but forgets, and not just me, but forgets every date that he ever right. has to keep. And this is his phone call from last night.
Hey, dude. It's about 10 o'clock. I'm so sorry. I was not even thinking. Yeah, I hope everything went well. I hope you had a good, great turnout. And, you know, I guess I'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye.
Such sincerity in that voice. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because he's probably laying around like, I have a day off of work. That's interesting. Did I have to do something?
Huh? Soccer Girl came by from Soccer Girl Incorporated.
With Ryan, her boyfriend.
I love her boyfriend.
Love him.
Very cool. And her other boyfriend, Brother Love.
When he walked through the door, Keith and I just looked at each other like, That can't be that right. It just can't be that. And for those who haven't heard, you know, some of the back shows, this is what, around November, we went to the podcast convention, right. We met Brother Love, and right after we met him, we went back to our hotel room and ripped him a new one on the show.
I assume it's brotherlove.com or Brother Love Music. And I thought he was a douche. I thought he's one of those guys that's too cool for school.
Remember
move is a certain way.
Being meaner to anyone on the show, like me personally,
right?
On the show, other than Brother Love. And here he is walking in on the DVD.
Hi. And I'm like, what?
All smiles. Hey, couldn't miss this one. You know, had to get out of my neighborhood. And, you know, people in New York, they don't like leaving their own neighborhood to go to whatever thing is happening, even if it's the coolest thing. And he lives on the Lower East Side, I guess. So it's like a $5 cab ride from where he is or something. But he's like, but I made it out. Congratulations.
Well, thanks for coming out. Hey, we got to support each other.
I know. And we're, what? And I swear.
Did you know?
He has to know.
He has to know. And then we find out later he did know. Talking to somebody, he's like, watch, I'm going to kill him with kindness.
That's what Brother Love said.
Yeah.
And we're like, God damn it, you did. You did. Why can't we hate anyone? What?
Just let us hate somebody.
Yeah.
Brother Love, forgiven.
Fuck. But we... That was such a great cursing out we did of you.
We can't... Can we hate somebody?
Can somebody that we say fuck you to come to our screening, fucking bitch slap us and leave? Yeah. And we go, touche.
He goes, no, fuck you, and then leaves.
That would be great. Right. No, he goes, hey, how's it going? Congratulations. Right. God damn it.
Yeah.
By the way, Jess says fuck you.
What? What's that?
I'm like, well, we can't say anything bad now. It's just bullying him on the show. And he's like, well, tell him I say fuck you.
Okay. So there you go. and fuck that skinny weirdo. Here's somebody we can hate. But you almost don't want to because he's mental. When somebody's mental, how can you hate them so bad?
I got to say, coolest fans. We've met a few fans before this. Everyone was very decent. They're all talking to each other. You had to sit, you know, at a table with different people, so you had to get along and everything. Right. One major douche among the crowd, and that was this weirdo. And if you were there last night, you know who this weirdo is, because if he sat in your vicinity, he sat a little too close to you and talked a little too...
And when there's so many people at an event, and everybody notices this one guy... But
he didn't moon anyone or anything.
Right, right. Yeah. He didn't moondog anybody. And then we find out that, you know, he at his first place, Deck.
At Deck, where the screening is.
The food is so good there, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, people told me that they might go to the next week for Valentine's Day there because the food was so good. It's a very nice place.
Right. Then they, I guess he didn't pay his bill, and it's a, you're sitting with strangers, and he just left. And then, you know, we go to the next place. And
nice guy, Eddie's, of course.
And you're like, okay, make sure that guy gets his own
check. So everyone got the same bill except for that guy who got a separate check.
Which, let's just go over this real quick so I can get it out of my whatever. Motherfuckers. People are cocksuckers that will try to get away with everything. And we talked about this back in April when you have a big check.
There's a show called Pay Your Fucking Tab.
Right.
So refer to that. And meanwhile, we have a gigantic table of over 10 people drinking, eating, whatever. Right. Whatever it is that you're doing, you're about to pay some money.
I'd say 10 to 20.
Something like
that. We're now in the second place. Nice guy, Eddie's.
Right.
And you know... You know you didn't pay your fair share. And you know what? From now on, unless every single one I would consider a good friend that I would take into war with me, I'm getting a separate check. We're going to be those people.
Because you know what? I feel like a douchebag.
I'm done getting taken.
Why, of all the people sitting at the table, does the check always come to us? It's not like we dress like millionaires. It doesn't look like how does it look like we need to pay the check? So then, all right, no big deal. I look at the check. I try passing it down like, okay, everybody look at the check, right? Because I'm looking at it. Somebody goes, you're really passing it down? Well, I don't know what to do with it. And then I'm like, okay, you know what? I won't pass it down. Here's our amount. Everybody just give whatever. Right. But don't give it to me. Don't give it to me.
Right.
Because now here come the questions.
How much do you want? I want what you fucking ate. I don't know.
I told you the total.
And you know what? I knew better, too. For like a split second, right. I'm like, don't fucking get one big check. That's going to be, you know better.
That's
but you know what I'm
anyway,
thinking?
Yeah.
I'm thinking in my head, like, these are, a lot of them are Keith and the Girl fans. Everybody seems cool.
Right.
You know, we're adults. Like, back in April, we weren't adults. But now we're adults. Everybody's going to pay their bill. They were all here for me to see this thing. And I'm like,
why would you be the asshole?
Yeah, they're not going to fuck me.
Right.
And it only takes a few people, but they do. And everybody tries to get away with it with something. And exactly, yeah, then the questions start coming.
Here are the questions. How much do I owe? Well, I don't fucking know. I wasn't watching you. Why don't you tell me how much I owe? Why are you looking at me? Why, because I got handed the check, do I know what you did all night?
Yeah.
And then the other question is like, how much was the quesadillas? I don't know.
You have a...
I love Nice Guy Eddie's,
right.
But I don't live here.
Right. And what I order?
What did I order?
What I order? What's mine cost? You're 35. You know what you ordered, and you know what it cost.
And if not, go somewhere and take the menu and look at it.
I had a sandwich, and that was $8. And tax, motherfucker.
And
tip, motherfucker. And the drinks you were drinking, motherfucker. It wasn't a free for all of pitchers. You know, and then you got the nice people that are like, you know, what did you have? They're like, oh, I had the quesadillas and two pitchers. I'm like, God damn it. I know you're being too nice.
Yeah, you didn't have two pitchers. You didn't have it. And you know who was really nice? Ryan. Soccer Girls Ryan. And I think he overpaid and we overpaid.
He overpaid. Spooky overpaid.
Spooky paid.
I forget his name.
Who's the one
black guy in the podcasting community?
The token black guy.
Right. So, he, you know, for being black, he overpaid.
He's not in the podcast community, is he? Does he have a podcast?
I'm sure he has like five, but he also, he was doing all the interviewing at the podcast convention.
Oh, no. You're talking about the skinny black guy?
Yeah.
No, not him. He didn't overpay.
I believe he did.
Really?
Yeah. Or there was some like he was like saying, he's like, I put in there, you'll be happy. I'm like,
oh,
well,
I guess
don't know.
We'll be happy.
Thank you.
Whatever. We'll be so happy. The money's going in our pocket.
People really think you get the money.
Yeah.
You don't get, we don't, you know.
They
like,
look at
doing,
us like are you okay with how much I gave? I don't know. And then I really start looking like a little kid. I actually put my hand over my eyes. Right. I don't know. Please don't think that you're giving it to me. Like, just figure it out and put the money in.
Right.
I'm going to assume that you did the right thing, just like I just did.
Right.
I don't want to hold this. Somebody take this check from me.
Right.
God, I feel like such an asshole. And you know what? I feel like, you know, when it gets better, you know, we'll buy people drinks and whatever. But then you turn into the person who buys everyone drinks all the time.
Right.
And we heard this on Opie and Anthony, like one of them was saying that now that they're successful, people assume that they pay the bill. Like they actually walk out, their friends walk out, the friends and family walk out assuming that because they're successful, they're paying the tab.
Oh, and you three motherfuckers at the end of the table, when we start going to doing the check, not there. And I'm like, did these motherfuckers run out? Then the check, and it takes a while because people are being little bitches. The check is finally taken care of. They're back.
And they're the ones with the martinis.
Yeah, and I saw martini glasses on the table. Nobody said, how much is a martini? Nobody asked me that. Oh, I see they put all the food together. Well, that's very convenient. No, actually, it's three, you know, check-looking things long. So your food's broken down, and it's right on here somewhere if you want to find it. Oh, it is?
Are you disappointed?
Yeah, it is. Do you want to look? Oh, it's on here, really? Yeah. So what do I do?
Is this a first check you ever
had? You don't know what to do. Earlier, you were talking about your brand new house you bought. You figured out how to buy a house. You figured out all the legal things you have to go to get a mortgage. You pay for the food you ate.
And then you pay for the tax, and then you pay for the tip. How is anyone forgetting that?
Right.
And this girl added the tip on, which
she knows people are scumbags. And
she's got to get her tip. And it wasn't even that much of a tip. It was like $35.
Right.
for a huge table like that, and we drove her nuts.
Right.
Fuck you.
So that just made me upset. But everything else was very cool. It's very weird being at a screening, you know, especially stand-up, like as opposed to a movie or something where it's just you, and you're sitting down, and, you know, your big fat head is on that screen, and everybody's looking at it, and then you finish saying something funny or interesting, and you see in both peripherals heads turning towards you. Like,
right.
Oh, you just said that. And you want to be like, yeah, but I'm on the screen. Look at the screen.
And you know what? Even I was looking at you. And yeah. I felt so bad. I really wanted to sit next to you. But, right. You know, I didn't want to be like, soccer girl, can you get up? I'd like to. But then I felt, you know, when you start going during your stand-up, it's like a reality thing. You're just talking about your life. So here and there you would go, and my girlfriend, and I see all the faces turn to me. And I'm like, oh, God, oh, God. And then there are some insulting things that you're saying. So I actually put my head down for one of them. I don't remember what it was, but it was like, you know, it wasn't embarrassing, but it's like, okay, all heads are on me, but I guess you can still hear while you're looking at me.
So, to make it clear again, the DVD is for sale.
Good job, babe.
Endless thanks to Matthew Bray, who did all the hard work.
And bought us barbecue.
And bought us barbecue on top of it. thanks again to Victor Varnado, who opened the show, you know, when I did stand-up. And thanks again to Ray Downs, who came up with the menu movie idea. And then he saw it, and he said, and you know, sees us thanks in the credits, and tells me that he feels bad because he never planned on it turning out that good. It's like, that was, I don't want to give it away, but he's like, you know, I guess I had the idea, but it wasn't that.
And again, that's Matthew Bray.
Exactly.
That's him. Like, he videotaped it, he edited it, he put it in there. What a fucking awesome guy. We're taking you to barbecue next week, goddammit.
There, you're welcome. Just, you know, throw in your share of the tip, you know. It should be. Yeah, I was listening to that old show too, you know, Pay Your Money.
Pay Your Fucking Tab.
Last night, I wanted to hear, like, how angry I got or whatever. And you know, and on it, we're like, okay, well, we look forward to dining with you guys later.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure you'll feel very comfortable. But no, it's very cool. How many of those people would you say Keith and the Girl fans? Definitely more than half, right?
Oh, I think we only had if like 10 to 15 of our actual friends right. that we would call on the phone
right.
there.
So, yeah, very cool. Everybody getting together was very cool.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm just
and,
recording.
While we're at it, April 15th is the next time we're all going to get together for Keith's new...
new stand-up. This,
yeah, it's going to be the taping of his next DVD.
Exactly.
So
the
April 15th,
live event.
I'm going to be looking for a place starting, you know, tomorrow or sometime this week. So
I'm going to be looking for pen and paper to start writing down fucking jokes.
It's much harder now, right? Because now you're talking every day. This is all the stuff that would be in your stand-up.
Correct.
So now you have to come up with things that we haven't spoken about.
Right.
Good luck to you.
And of
I'll
course,
find the space.
And of course, people, you know, are asking about the technique. Meaning, you know, like, I'd never see you, like, around doing stand-up in the city. And those of you that have been listening to this show for a while understand that, but understand why. But every year I do a big stand-up show, but hardly ever do I do stand-up regularly. And people, you know, don't understand why or, you know, how that can work. When I first started doing stand-up, I did it one day a week at, like, a job, you know, at the place me and Hemda met. At the
at open
house,
mic.
Right, at an open mic place, and did it for a year, and then I thought I was comfortable, so I did my first show. Then a year went by, I did this last show that we just screened, and I'm going to do it again in April. This thing that we just screened is almost a year old.
Right.
So if this confuses anybody, we just finally got it done. But I'll practice it in my house, and you just sit, and when comics or people that are in, you know, into that are into comics or this world. Their jaws just drop, and they're like, how, you know, what? How do you know what's good? And then you just go on stage. And
Because usually comedians, they try out their material.
Right.
Like, even if it's an hour show, they try it 10 minutes at a time at different places.
Other comedians are just, you see the disgust in their eyes when I'm like, I don't feel like you should, you know.
Right, you don't want to put in that work.
Two reasons. I compare it to, like, a movie that you made in your house. And, yeah, you have, you know, these little test screenings. But all in all, you believe it's good, and then you put it out, you know?
Yeah, you know what? No. No, I think...
And as for comics' point that, you know, how do you know what's good and what's not? I see these comedians, and they say something that's not funny, and the audience doesn't laugh at that at all. Then I see him the next week, and they do the same joke, and the audience doesn't laugh again. They never stop doing that joke because they believe in it. So what is the point of trying out your material if you're not going to? And I despise comedians. I despise them. And I've said this before, too. I'm sure you get to a real level, comedians are okay to hang out with. But until you do, and I never, you know, doing it this way, I guess I never will. Comedians are assholes, miserable,
self-conscious,
what a miserable, miserable scene.
Yeah, and you don't get paid for going all around town doing your 10-minute spots, and it's time-consuming. You stay up until 4 in the morning trying to get a spot sometimes. It's a miserable, miserable existence.
And, you know, you're telling your jokes at one place. Then you take a cab. And, you know, bigger names are doing this, too. And you take a cab to the next place.
Right.
And you take a cab to the next place.
And, yeah.
There's your night. How's that fun? And then from place to place, more asshole comedians. Or the same ones, rather. You know?
Right.
And I just fucking despise it. I had a point, and I forget.
That it's going to be all new jokes April 15th, 2006.
You know what I would like to do?
What?
When I do get more famous with comics, the way you have rap wars in the East Coast and West Coast, mm-hmm. I want to start comic wars.
Serious?
Yeah, I want like
that would be
the
awesome.
New York comics versus the, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how, but... And then like you go on stage and you really got to try hard because the East Coast really isn't into you, California comics.
That's awesome.
Just an idea.
That'd be great, especially an East Coast, West Coast mm-hmm. thing. Although...
And maybe Dane Cook can head up the West Coast and I can head up the East Coast.
The thing is, you wouldn't know who's East Coast and West Coast because a lot of people just move to the East Coast and West Coast and live bi-coastal
right.
just so they can get this career going.
We're
going
to have gang colors.
I guess whoever has a car is West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to be West Coast.
And another get-together idea that we're talking about is a home remodeling party. Get all the fans together, shoot the shit, and build our new house. I want to thank Stephen Richards, who sent a nice donation. You two are fucking great. I hope you're on for a long time. P.S. I live just outside the city, so if Spooky needs help with the remodeling, I would be glad to help.
That's nice. And I was wondering why you were reading a donation, because it is after January.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, I like the people that don't expect nothing.
Now, I like to call them out on their shit. You said you'd help.
Right. That's
give us
contract.
An email, info@keithandthegirl.com.
And,
thank you for the donation as well.
And the little donation from Timothy Hooper said, even more money from a homo. I guess this kind of makes you whores, gay whores. The fag community got us again. Let's get into some news. Apparently, if you sleep all day, you miss a couple things. And the Grammys were on. I didn't see any of it. Did you see any of it?
No, no. I didn't even realize. I thought the Grammys were on like a week or two ago. How many award ceremonies can people have? And you know what it is? It's probably different. Like the Grammys are different than, you know, the
American
MTV
music.
Awards and American music. Right. And it's even different genres. Like some of them are for movies and some of them are for, you know, for music or movies. And they're different. But right. It seems like it's the same people showing up.
Right.
So it always feels like that just happened.
And, you know, I watch mostly cable. Or, you know, I DVR it.
Right.
You know, or I TiVo it. I had no idea the Grammys were coming. I don't know any of these things are coming up because everything's always TiVo'd.
Oh, because
and
you
I don't
watch the
commercials. Right.
Right, right, right. I feel like I kind of heard about it, but like I said, I just thought right. I missed it already.
And what shows do I watch? I watch Earl, My Name is Earl,
right.
and The Office. So I'm only going to know about NBC shows.
Is that on NBC?
Yeah.
All right.
Which, by the way, NBC's, I mean, I don't know who else, but they were the first, if not still the only company really working with iTunes.
For what?
For the iPod. You can download NBC shows like Lost and The Office and this and that. They are putting a lot of product placement. First of all, it was kind of disgusting when they first started because they'd taken up like the bottom third of the screen, you know, in fancy different colors, you know. Download this show on your iPod. Well, how about I just fucking watch it right now without being interrupted?
Well, that's not really product placement.
Exactly. No, I know.
It's this new thing that regular TV has, and they do actual animated commercials while your TV show is going on, and it's at the bottom of your screen, and it takes a lot of the attention because it's animated and, you know, things are running through your screen, and also sometimes it's right on top of what you need to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Like the actual show is pointing your eyes to the bottom of the screen, but there's like, you know, the next show coming up is blah blah blah.
Right.
So I feel like it's people's ADD, and also they know that people are not watching commercials anymore, so now the commercial has to go on while the show goes on.
But then they started doing, I believe, product placement, like only watching The Office and My Name Is Earl.
And again, they have to do it because we're not watching the commercials.
They had a Secret Santa episode in The Office. And, you're supposed to pay like $5 or $10 for the gift. Michael, the boss, is a dick and gets an iPod. So that, you know,
it makes everybody else's gift look bad.
Right. It makes everybody's gift look bad, you know. But it's obviously it's centered around the iPod.
The whole show.
You guys just made this deal with the iPod for no reason. And everybody likes... I always say everybody likes Earl. My name is Earl. They bring up the iPod. It's like, what's an iPod? You know, and they're like two retarded rednecks. And it's like, is that one of them space capsules? It's like, you didn't even have to put that joke in there.
That's funny.
You just had to mention the iPod.
You know who did that? Seinfeld was the first, I think, what seemed to be the first. I have to make sure that when I have conviction about something, it has to be 100% true or everyone corrects me. But I think Seinfeld was the first one who actually didn't say, this is a cola product. They said Pepsi. They said they had a whole episode about the O. Henry bars because he was dating the O. Henry bar girl or something.
Jujubee, whatever those
was like
things.
Stuck in somebody's body while they were operating or something.
Right, Pez.
Yeah, so that was really cool. And I felt like, I might be wrong at this point, but I felt like they were just talking about it and they were the first people not to like... pretend like they're not talking about something. Like instead of saying "Oh Henry," they would have said "Oh Keith" as a bar, and we're all supposed to know that it's "Oh Henry." So that was like, "Oh, that's cool." They're saying the real product. They're not like, you know, putting a new product and having like a red and blue can, but calling it Popsy or something, you know. And so we were like actually appreciating all the product placement in Seinfeld, but now they go so overboard that it's like, what's an iPod? Well, an iPod is, and everyone should start doing like a choreographed dance over what an iPod is, you know. that's what it's heading towards. But in their defense, like, we're not watching commercials.
Right.
So much so we missed the Grammys. How could we?
They're going to start wearing t-shirts. With, you know? Oh, yeah. So.
We gotta send all these networks our Keith and the Girl shirts. So maybe they'll get them in there.
Oh, good morning, Bob. Good morning. I like FedEx. Explain. No, I got nothing to say. I just like them. Anyways, did you go on a date last night? Okay, here's the list of winners at the 48th Annual Grammy Awards. Album of the Year goes to U2 for How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb.
Are you kidding me? Hello, hello. That's them, right?
Yeah.
Hola.
You know,
a place called Vertigo.
That song grew on me, which, by the way, was on every fucking iPod commercial.
Right, right, right. That and Jerk It Out.
Right, right.
Listen to the lyrics of Jerk It Out. We actually used it for one of our promos about like our jerk off stories.
And
everything about it is jerking out. It's not even hidden. You jerk it out.
Right.
What?
Well, you know, like, you know, people go like, you never like relax, don't do it. And you're like, I'm an adult now. I know what that song's about. Now I think every song's about fucking or jerking.
But that is
every song.
And every song is. You're absolutely right. Yeah. But relax, don't do it when you want to come.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
How was that on the airwaves?
Well, you know the...
That was on regular radio before we can say ass.
Going back to the Rolling Stones at the Super Bowl.
How did he spell that on his CD?
Right. Right.
Come. How do you spell it?
The nice way. C-O-M-E.
The Keith Malley way.
I don't write C-U-M. I find that trashy.
But I think that's come.
I'm just saying.
C-O-M-E is come here.
I get you.
C-U-M is...
No, I'm just
relax,
saying,
don't do it.
Can't we all be a little classy? The Rolling Stones was singing Start Me Up. And there's a line, you make a dead man come.
Is that the line?
Yeah. Now, of course, they don't say the word come at the
Super Bowl. He says you make a grown man cry.
You make a grown man cry, you can make a dead man come.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Did they change the words for the Super Bowl?
They just said you make a dead man.
Are you kidding? Oh, my God. I remember seeing something about Ashley Simpson. She was getting ready to sing it. I don't know if it was the Super Bowl or some kind of big thing. They changed all her lyrics. And, like, how racy is Ashley Simpson, you know? But like you said, everything is about sex.
Right. We'll go through this list, and you tell me if it's about fucking or jerking. Record of the year. So I guess that means song of the year.
No, that's fucking.
I don't know what record.
That's for sure.
Record of the year. Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Who is that? I know that one.
Green Day.
Okay.
Song of the year. So I don't. I never remember what's the difference between album and record.
A record is the single, right?
But then what's song of the year?
Mm.
Or like record of the year goes to the Raiders or something. I don't know. Song of the year is U2. Sometimes you can't make it on your own. Okay. New legend, new artist, John Legend.
That he's new?
Yeah.
Okay.
Male R&B vocal performance, Ordinary People. You know him?
I heard of him.
Pop vocal album goes
Mariah
to
Carey.
Kelly Clarkson for Breakaway.
Yes! I love her. And I know everyone thinks she's cheesy, but I think secretly everybody likes her. Mm-hmm. She just seems genuine, and it goes back to that genuine thing that people just want to see, and she deserves her fame and fortune. If she likes her fame and fortune.
Oh, is this a new category? Rap sung collaboration for Numb/Encore, Jay-Z featuring Linkin Park.
Oh, that's who won?
Yeah.
I like that song. I like how they put it together.
I like it too, but is that a new category?
Collaboration.
Rap/song collaboration.
Sung, why are you saying sung?
S-U-N-G. Like they sung it.
Oh, they either rap it or sung it?
No, they did both. They put it together. That's a category
Get out.
Now. Yeah, it can't be its own song.
Yeah, I heard about Gwen Stefani and what's that rap artist? They got nominated also.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a new category. It's a new world.
That's funny. That's, again, this is a Black History Month. We're working towards making the world a better place. I think that's the same thing, like get a black person together and a white person together. It's kind of like that, you know,
right.
Whoever sings and it seems like the white people are collaborating with black people.
I think it's a great move for everybody, but, you know, it's a great move.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
Rappers, you know, get some of the white people. And then after they do the collaboration, Jay-Z, for example, if he wasn't retired, which I know he's not.
Yeah, if he wasn't retired and going to the award ceremony and doing interviews. Right.
Now he can do another album and make fun of the white people. You think I fucking sold out? You think I'm not tough? Female pop vocal performance since you've been gone, Kelly Clarkson.
I knew it, yes.
Best rap album, thank God, because it didn't have to get ignorant up in there, Kanye West.
Hmm. See, I wonder if like his retarded speeches... which I think he's very bold for doing, and I commend him for. I wonder if that has to do with it, because he just put himself on the map by saying George Bush hates black people. Mm-hmm. And it's just that you need attention rather than making a good album. Although, I think that his lyrics are very cool.
Rap solo performance went to Gold Digger, Kanye West. And I didn't see this, like I said, but I guarantee, Jamie Foxx was on stage.
Singing.
She take my money. And that was it, for no reason. We get it. That was good. We get it.
I think he doesn't, he's trying to let people know I'm the one who did that, so
right.
Buy my album.
Yeah, that was
You know
real.
This song that you like, it's not Kanye West, it's me singing that part. Mm-hmm. So just in case you didn't know.
Best Urban Alternative Performance. I don't even know
what that
means.
Mean?
But the winner, Damian Marley, Welcome to Jamrock. Out on the streets.
They call it murder. If you don't have that CD, you have to get it. What did that win? Album of the year?
Urban something. All right. They're just making shit up to keep everybody happy.
Right?
You all win.
It is all of them winning.
Right.
Who else is left?
It's
Mariah
like,
Carey's
it's
left.
It's like the Oscars, and they have, you know, their best picture, then they have best foreign film. It's like, I'll give you guys something.
You're never going to win best. But, and, you know, I think that with Mariah Carey, I know she's up for something.
She won some Oscar.
She did. I feel like when she doesn't win, the Academy or whoever's voting feels like there's not enough drama with Mariah Carey. Because when Mariah Carey doesn't have, like, number ones or things on the radio, right. She starts going nuts. So... if she doesn't win the award, I think they're hoping that she goes nuts again and gives us some news, you know? So.
That, you know what? I've been jerking off to music videos more than porn lately.
That makes sense. I saw her latest
Black
video.
Black Eyed Peas, Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey.
Jessica Simpson.
I always think it's weird
Beyonce.
With Mariah Carey. Oh, Beyonce, forget about it. I just think it's weird with Mariah Carey that she so whores out more and more every year because she was already big. She's already... you know, and she has such talent, and that I think she took her talent down and her whorish up, and she, it's almost like you have to do that You know, because she's never sold so much before. She's never, like, been in the public eye so much before. She's never been invited to so many whatever you're supposed to be invited to so much. You have to whore it up. Right. You have to do it.
And, you know, saying about, you know, every song's about fucking or jerking, when it comes to me, it is now.
That's true. Every video, no matter what, right. is somebody just shaking their ass or something, half naked, so in a tub.
Right, right.
Like, everything that you can do, like, what, I'm just in a tub. Running my fingers through my hair. What? I'm just trying to get out of the pool.
And I was going to say, I don't know what these songs are about. I'm probably not appreciating the lyrics. But then, you know, if you want to step on me, you know, come and get me, get with me, my ass, my tits. I'm like, no, I guess I am getting the point. Oh, getting the point all over my keyboard. Thank you.
I'm going to be expecting ants on the keyboard. Thank you. Thanks for the warning.
So we'll see you guys Thursday. I'm sure Patrice will, you know, give us more of the dirty behind-the-scenes details at the Grammys.
That's all we know is reading a list.
Right. But I'm going to throw a track from the new DVD, just to tease you guys a little bit, from Children's Party Songs. Now on sale.
Nice.
I'm selling
job.
It. You can buy it with money.
Also, before we go, just an extra note. Spooky, you're the one who spilt the wine on the bag.
What happened?
Fuck, I wanted to leave it like that and be extra cool.
I know.
Damn it.
What happened?
I was moving the tables up so we can have more room in the back, and Spooky was helping, and then he shoved a little extra, and the wine fell all over Adam's girlfriend's bag.
Mm.
And, may I say, nobody got up to help me clean.
I saw that. I saw you clean.
Did you?
And, yeah, I just couldn't get to you.
I was freaking out.
Doing it, and they were just watching you.
Yeah.
Nice job, gentlemen. Going back to chivalry.
Yeah, thanks, Spooky.
You know that this was at Deck, and you know it's a classy place because...
And you know that wine cost like $10.
Right, right.
It was an entire cup that got spilled because... And I didn't see the cup, which doesn't make me look good for my story. I didn't see the cup, so I don't know how full it was, but I know the bag was so wet and the chair was so... And I just felt so bad. And then Adam comes around and he's like, I'm like, I'm sorry, the wine got spilled. Spooky did it, but I'm sorry. And then he's like, oh shit, all right, you know. And then I'm like, but her bag got soaked. And he was like, fuck. And then I'm like, if Adam's giving me the fuck face, right. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, oh my god.
we have connections though. If she wants like a Prada bag in its place,
right,
we can go down to Chinatown.
All right. Oh yeah, we do. All
so
right.
Don't worry about
that's
that.
That's why Spooky wasn't so upset about it and didn't get up to wipe
right.
it off.
That's
he
why
knows.
He's like, I don't see the big deal. That's
right.
$5.
Yeah.
I finished drinking a beer, and I don't know, just being stupid, I like, not a slam's too hard of a word, but I slammed the glass down, but the opposite way. Like, I finished drinking this. This is done. You know,
right.
Like I was in a contest with nobody.
You turned it upside down and
I turned it upside
hard.
Down, hit it hard. The whole thing shattered all over the table.
Shut
and I'm
up.
Like, these are classy glasses.
That's why you were trying to make me break a cup at Nice Guy Eddie's later on.
To even it out.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Well, thanks again, everybody that came out.
And thank you, everybody that's listening.
Yeah.
And that wanted to come out, but they didn't live around New York.
But they didn't try hard enough. Maybe next year.
Maybe April 15th. KeithandTheGirl.com.
If we can get back, though, seriously, to black parties. I do want to say, though, that rap music, when it comes to kids, does, honestly, and always will, bother me. Now, I'm not saying, oh, skeet, skeet, motherfucker, oh, skeet, skeet, goddamn, doesn't make a point. I'll give you that one. Okay? But you got songs like, you know, I don't give a fuck because it's my birthday, and my niggas don't dance, we just pull up our pants. Something might not be right. Now, I like that song, my niggas don't dance, we just pull up our pants. It teaches kids, you know, you don't got to know how to dance to be cool. We're all born to do different things, and you find out what you're good at, and you nurture that. That's how a society runs. Everybody has to do different things. I just don't want to see little Andre walking around. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Give it time, Andre. Give it time. I come in 3 days ago to a spot. I'm dressed up as Spider-Man. You know what's on the radio? One-year-old kids party. One-year-old. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. Damn it. It's better than yours. Spider-Man jerks off to that song. Don't you know that? Disgusting. They're playing that song Go shorty, it's your birthday. Go shorty, it's your birthday. Gotta party like it's your birthday. Drink Bacardi like it's your birthday. And they lower the stereo, and the mom giggles into the microphone. Happy birthday, Andre. You're one. Mother of the year. Wait a minute. She took the time to plan some shit. Look, let's say you grow up to Britney Spears and Linkin Park, okay? Worst case scenario, you grow up with bad taste. You grow up to Lil Jon and 50 Cent. Best case scenario, someone's getting punched. It's not enough for you that Spider-Man's not outside stopping a rape. You also want him to not give a fuck because it's your birthday. I don't got time to lean back. I got shit to do. And it's so fucking weird to me that it's kind of weird that we as adults like support this stuff. Support murderers and thieves, proven murderers and thieves. They say so right on the album, right on the song. We're like, well, they sure can rhyme words nice, you know. What do you gotta do? And that these lyrics aren't just made up on a spot. They don't go into a studio and just talk shit. Like, I think a joke, sometimes write down ideas. My girlfriend's a singer-songwriter, she writes down ideas. Hardcore rappers are no different, you know? Like, oh, what's this? I used to be scared of the dick. Now I put lips to the shit. Can't do it like a real bitch. Kim, what's this? Oh, careful, I wrote that just perfect. That's worded just right. Say that. Like, he walked in one day. Hey, go shorty, it's your birthday. Gonna party like it's your birthday. Oh, yeah, I don't know, it's my birthday. Thanks for coming. Hold on, I'm gonna write that down. That might make me fucking rich someday. And like, even, like, sissier. Like, say, Michael Jackson played at all these parties. Like, every parent, no matter what, you know, what you think, know in your heart that something not kosher happened between Michael Jackson and all children. But that doesn't stop them from going, whatever, Smooth Criminal's a good song. And they're playing it at parties, and it's just a little weird. It's a little weird. He's never, you know, that man is never going to jail. And not, it's because of his celebrity, but it's not because of money. It's because of what you contributed to society. You know, Your Honor, we have videotape proof that Michael Jackson is a molester, an abuser, a pedophile. We'd like you to see this video. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you telling this courtroom that Billie Jean is not a good song? No, Your Honor, no. We're saying that we have hidden tape that you understand that for an album like Bad, after so many different people fuck with it, to be so good is almost a miracle from heaven. Is that what you're saying? No, Your Honor, no. No, what we're saying is, get the fuck out of my courtroom. Preposterous. Then the whole jury does the Thriller dance.
But shooting in the